remember growing up always feeling like anger was one of my biggest enemies. I felt like it controlled me, it controlled my thoughts, and sometimes even my actions. Just recently, I was decluttering some old stuff and I found a journal from high school, and almost every day I wrote and promised to myself that I wouldn't get angry the next day, and that yet again I was disappointed with myself that it happened again. Then once I became a mom, my little angry monster inside just grew even more. There were so many new things that made me angry, and I felt like my war against anger became even more intense. It always seemed like a helpless battle. In today's episode, I hope to bring some light to this battle, change the way we perceive anger, and stop the constant inner struggle. So listen in if you ever feel like you lose your temper, maybe even blow up sometimes, like I did many times and sometimes still do, or if you want to befriend your angry monster, this is the place to be. Hey, and welcome to the New Mama Marriage Bliss Show. I want to help you get out of the overwhelming distance and guide you to reconnect to yourself and to your husband. You know you want things to be different, but you're probably not sure how to make it happen. Well, Mama, you're in the right place. Here we will dive into all the things you need to start loving your life and relationship and start living like soulmates and not roommates anymore. We will dive into motherhood, marriage, communication, holistic inspiration, and practical hacks and tips. Mama, I believe that transformation and deep connection await you. Hi, I'm Aliza Saeed, proud mama and grateful wife, and the Mama Marriage Coach. You too can turn your mess into magic. Come on, Mama, and let's do it together. Hey there, mamas, and welcome back to the New Mama Marriage Bliss Show. I kind of feel a need to say what bliss is, because every time I say it, I'm like, I hope they don't think it's just rainbows and butterflies and everything is perfect, because that's not what I mean when I say marriage bliss. When I say marriage bliss, I really mean a beautiful journey. And a journey has all different parts of it. And parts of it is hard work and it's not automatic. It's a deep dive inside of who you are. And the bliss comes as a result of that inner work. Today, we're going to be talking about one of those things that's really true inner work. And for me, it has definitely been a huge part of, and it still is, a huge part of my inner transformation and personal development journey. Some people are pretty sure that I'm like the Zen master and that I'm pretty chilled about everything, but actually anger has been a constant companion of mine. But what if I told you that anger is actually a gift? I used to think that anger was my biggest enemy, but in my journey to beat it, I learned that I was fighting against myself. I learned that anger isn't an enemy at all. In fact, it's one of my best friends now. A few episodes ago, we spoke about nonviolent communication, and in today's episode, we're going to be exploring anger really with those same guidelines and principles of nonviolent communication. So if you didn't hear that episode, please go over there and listen to that, because that will definitely help you and give you more of a background about what we're doing today. But even if you didn't, that's okay. You could still hear just the episode today and you'll be fine. Nonviolent communication is amazing because you don't need the other person to be into it at all. And just from you changing your perception and your mind work, you could change a situation, even if your partner has absolutely no interest in, you know, getting to know what it is you're doing exactly. So it's a great tool that really can change the way that you show up in life. Last week, we had to take our car to the mechanic because it was just a little squeaky and seemed like something wasn't right. There was a little light that then turned on and we thought, okay, let's just take it over and make sure that everything's okay. And when we got there, the mechanic said to us, "It's a really good thing you came now when the light turned on, because if you wouldn't have, and if you would have waited a little bit more, the whole engine could have blown, probably would have blown." Okay, we still had to pay an arm and a leg just for that small light, but we essentially saved the car. And why am I telling you this? Because that is exactly what anger is. Anger is that little light that's turning on. Sometimes it's smaller, sometimes it's bigger, but the little light is turning on in order to challenge us to connect to what our unmet needs are that have triggered this reaction. And if you wait and you pretend that your light didn't turn on, or if you push that light down, or if you shove it into a box and try and not take it out and you try and stifle that light, then the blow up ends up being much worse. And not only does the blow up end up being much worse, but your needs are not met and our engine can blow. Anger is a product of our thinking. According to Marshall Rosenberg of Nonviolent Communication, it's not even really a pure feeling. Anger is an alarm that tells us that we're thinking in ways that are likely not going to get our needs met. When I talk about needs that are not met, there are many different kinds of needs that we have. We have physical needs that we need air to breathe, food to eat, a place to live. We need movement in our lives. We need protection. Those are our physical needs. There's emotional needs that we have. We have independent needs that I need the ability to choose my own dreams and choose my life. Some other needs are the need to be accepted, to be appreciated, to feel close to the ones that I love. Everybody has many, many different needs, and it's important for us to just note that right there of what needs exactly I'm talking about. Let's make it really clear. Anger should never, ever be suppressed. Don't box it up into a box and shove it down. Anger needs to be used. Open up that box and use the anger. Imagine if I would have just turned off that light in my car and pretended that it wasn't even there. If I would have just ignored it, my engine would have gone. Now, because anger is like an alarm, we should also ask ourselves if just venting is a good idea. Should I just go and throw a ball or punch a pillow when I'm really angry? So I think that it might really help in the moment to release some energy and tension that you might feel in your body. But essentially, if that's the only way that we are directing our anger, then we're missing out on the gift that anger actually can bring us. Not only that, but sometimes venting can even just push the anger closer to the surface and in fact leave the person so much more susceptible to express their anger later in ways that are dangerous to themselves and sometimes to others. So then what should we do with our anger? How can we transform ourselves through anger? So there are four steps that we're going to go through right now. It may seem like a lot to remember, and just like I said when we were talking about nonviolent communication, it might seem very technical in the beginning, but once it becomes a flow that you live in your life, it becomes very, very natural. Actually, Marshall Rosenberg writes about how he has a friend who wrote himself a little card, and he used to take out the card whenever he would feel angry to remember the steps that he wanted to go through in order to utilize his anger. His child once saw him getting angry, and he said to his dad, "Dad, I think you need to take out the card now." And it became just a natural way of his life. So it might feel a little artificial and not so natural, but that's okay. Go with the flow and it will become more natural as you go with it. Okay, so step number one is to learn to be conscious that the trigger of our anger is not the cause of our anger. What does that mean? Think of the last time you got angry. What made you angry? You might think that it was something that someone did to you or said to you or something someone didn't do or say to you. But the truth is that the trigger is not the cause of the anger at all. So let's get that clear. Separate trigger and the cause of the anger. The trigger lit that light, that little light on my engine board, on my dashboard, whatever it's called. But it's not the cause of it. What other people do is never the cause of how we feel. So first we have to be aware of what the trigger was. What was it that stimulated your anger? Just like we spoke about in the episode about nonviolent communication, think of what a camera would see. No judgment and no interpretations. What was the stimulation? Was it the guy that cut me off in the lane? Was it my husband coming home late? Was it my child didn't pick up the toys when they were finished playing? What was the trigger? Not my children are lazy and they never ever pick it up. Not my husband doesn't care about me, that's why he came late. None of that. Just what a camera would see. So my husband came at 7:30 instead of 7 o'clock like we decided. My kids didn't pick up the toys after they finished playing. just the trigger. Understand what the trigger was that made me angry. Think of what was done, not what was intended. He didn't clean his plate. He came an hour late. He didn't make the bed. Those are the things that were done, not what his intention were. Not giving him any judgments like he doesn't care of anything, that he's inconsiderate, those kids are so lazy. None of that. Just identify the trigger. What made my anger alarm go off? Simple, right? Okay, then let's go to the second step. The second step is understanding that's not the cause of my anger. It isn't what people do that makes us angry. It's our evaluation of what has been done that makes us angry. Let's understand that for a second. Think of an example. Let's say there were two situations that you were hit by a ball in your head. Okay? One time you were walking by the basketball court by your house and the ball came flying and hit you in the head. You're probably not going to be so angry at those kids because it was by accident. You were walking by, they didn't see you, and you got hit. You'll throw the ball back and continue on with your life. Now let's think about being hit by a ball by your child that's really angry and is expressing his anger by throwing a ball at you. And your child throws that ball at you and hits you in the head. In both situations, the same exact thing happened. You were hit by a ball in your head. But your reaction to both of those two situations is going to be completely different. And that's because of how you evaluated the situation. What were your thoughts around what was happening to you? Anger is connected to our thoughts around what is happening to us, but they are thoughts that are based on ways of thinking about the wrongness or badness on someone else's part. Whenever we feel angry, we should try and say, I'm feeling angry because I'm telling myself that my child has no control over himself and he's doomed for life, right? Maybe that's the judgment thought that's going through my head when my child throws a ball at my head. Look for what kind of thinking is going on inside when I say that sentence, because it's not, I'm feeling angry because he hit me with a ball, because before I was also hit with a ball, but I wasn't angry. So what is the judgmental thinking that's coming up in that moment of feeling angry? It's usually really hard for us not to mix up the trigger and the cause. Many of us also grow up with guilt as a primary way to motivate us. When somebody will ask their child to give them a kiss, and when they don't give them a kiss, so they pout and pretend that they start crying. Oh, give me a kiss. I'm so sad. Trying to make the other one feel guilty is like this cultural motivation technique that it like is okay. Or when you tell your son, it makes me very sad when you hit your sister. Like trying to use guilt as a motivation is kind of accepted. Or I remember when I was little, I fell on the sidewalk once, and my neighbor was there, and she said, oh no, bad sidewalk. Why did you hurt Alisa? And when we say something like that to a child, we're teaching them to blame whoever it was, or that you should feel guilty, because then there's lots of guilt and blame going on. And then we get confused with the cause and the trigger. But the trigger is not the cause of the anger. So just like we already said, it's not what the other person does. It's how you see it. It's how you interpret it. So the first step is we found the trigger. The second step is we recognized that it's not someone who made us angry, but it's our own thoughts that caused us the anger. Now the third step is really the key for transformation. When we look at the underlying need that is hiding behind the judgmental thought that we made, that is where transformation happens. The problem is we're usually not attuned to our needs completely. So instead of doing the inner work, we project and we judge and we start thinking what's wrong with everyone else. The judgments we make of other people are really just expressions of our own unmet needs. So let's make that really clear. When I get angry, I had a trigger that made me angry. That trigger went off because I had a judgmental thought or a projecting thought of someone else or of a situation. The third step is I go deep with that judgmental thought and I say, hold on, what is that thought teaching me about my own needs. Maybe I had this judgmental thought that my child is disrespectful. Maybe I have a need underlying there that I need to be respected. Is that my need that is unmet at that moment? When we're full of judgment, we create an atmosphere of defensiveness, and we're not learning and we're not connecting. We're just creating like these eggshells to walk on all the time. Once we have those judgments inside, they're expressed always, either verbally or non-verbally. You can't fake it. Your face or your body or the tone of your words, it will tell it all. Especially children, you can never hide your judgments from them. They know it. And then we might create the result we want, but the motivation is completely off. So if I'm full of this judgmental thought and I'm seeing my child throwing a ball at my head, right? And I have this judgmental thought inside of me that my child is so disrespectful, I might be able to get him to stop throwing the ball at me. But when it's from a place of those judgmental thoughts, I have to ask myself, is it really coming from a place of love and connection, or is it coming from a place of blame and guilt? And do I really want my children or anybody in any relationship to treat me out of blame, guilt, and fear? Do I really want my husband to come home because he's scared of what I'm going to tell him when he comes home late? Is that really what we want? Do we want to create blame and judgment and anger? Or do we want there to be a pure, genuine motivation that stems from love? The word emotion has the word motion in it. Because what is an emotion supposed to do? It's supposed to put us into motion. Just like when we're hungry, right? Why does our body make us feel hungry? Our body feels hungry in order to move us towards the food. Like, I'm hungry, my tummy's making sounds there, so go get the food. It's the same thing with all other emotions as well. When we're angry, it's in order to move us towards our unmet needs. It's in order to help us be aware of what are the things that are coming up. Anger moves us to think, what are the things that are coming up when I am in this situation? What are my judgments on others? And that way I can really learn what are my needs in those situations. The last step four, is all about sharing it with someone else. These are basically the same four steps that we spoke about in the nonviolent communication episode. So number one is we reveal what the trigger was, just like the camera's view. Number two, I'm going over this fast because we already spoke about this. Number two is we express how we're feeling. We're not repressing the anger. We're not repressing whatever feelings are coming up. We express, we say, this is what I am feeling. Then we follow up with our needs. We express, I have a need to feel respected. And then number four, here's where we really share with the other one, is to add a clear and a present request of what we need from the other person, or what we want, excuse me, not need, what we want from the other person in these kinds of situations. Now, because it's a request, it's a gift. So they can give it to us and maybe not. They don't need to. It's not a demand. We're not demanding it. And if they can't give it to us, then we'll find a different way to get that need. It takes practice and it is not easy. It is a journey. Does it mean we're always going to be able to control what's going on? Probably not. It's okay when we fall and we miss an opportunity of this anger coming up. But once we go over it and we really reframe the way we even think of anger, and we think of it as something that can really help us understand what's going on inside of us, then it can be such a game changer. So I'm going to go over the steps once again. Step number one is about identifying the trigger. What was it that made my light go off? Step number two is understanding that's not the cause, but the cause is really my judgmental thoughts about the other person usually, or the situation. Then step number three is the key for transformation and is about thinking, what is that judgmental thought teaching me about me? What is that thought teaching me of what I need in this season of life. What unmet needs do I have? And then step number four is going back to the nonviolent communication and understanding how to share it with someone else, to be able to add a clear present request from another person. I want to add two more small things about anger and motherhood. There are two phenomenons that many times mothers don't know even exist. And just saying it out loud can give a lot of permission, and I hope give you an invitation to go and seek out resources if you think that this might be you. There are two different phenomenons that have to do with anger. The first one is postpartum rage. So thank God lately, postpartum depression has definitely been something that people speak about more and people share their experiences and there's much more awareness. But what sometimes people don't know is that sometimes postpartum depression will express itself as rage. So when you find yourself exceptionally angry, you feel like you can't control yourself, you feel like you are out of control sometimes, and you can't always find what exactly was the trigger, or you just feel like it's not really the anger that you're used to or how you know yourself, it might be a bit of postpartum rage, and which is really just another symptom of postpartum depression. And it's important for me to say that there's no shame here about having postpartum depression or postpartum rage. And I do want to please invite whoever feels that they might be going through this to go and seek out help, because there is help out there and you can learn to reaccept yourself, because I know personally how much guilt and blame and shame and just horrible feelings come up from feeling such rage, especially sometimes towards your children or towards your loved ones, and that you don't even know how to explain it. So if you feel that that might be you, go and ask somebody. If you want, shout me a DM and I'd be happy to help you. I'm not a therapist. I cannot diagnose anybody, but if you're debating if you should go and see someone, I'd be happy to talk to you about it and then push you to go see a therapist if that is the case. So that's the first thing, is postpartum rage. Be aware of it. Be aware of it for yourself and for people also around you. And the second thing that I want to mention is breastfeeding aversion or agitation, which also is another thing that people don't know about and they feel very alone when it happens. What is breastfeeding aversion or agitation? So it's a phenomenon where breastfeeding or pumping mothers experience really strong negative emotions that are triggered while they're breastfeeding. Usually it's when the baby latches or when you start pumping. And these can include all different feelings such as anger, rage, agitation, irritability. Really, there's not so many studies on this, but the mothers from all over the world that have felt this, they describe the exact same feelings that come up for them when they start breastfeeding. It can happen at any time of your breastfeeding journey, maybe in the beginning, maybe at the end, maybe it can happen at any time. But this feeling of feeling like you're really confined and you just want the baby to get off and you can't do this anymore, and really sometimes angry at the baby. They think that it's probably because of a hormonal chemical thing that's going on when breastfeeding. And again, let's take away the shame, take away the blame, take away everything. And also here, I would love to invite you to seek resources and look for professionals that can help you with this also, if this is something that you feel might be what you are experiencing. Okay, I think that is enough for today. I don't want to bombard you with too much and overwhelm you with too much. Let's keep it really simple here. So I'm just here to give you a really loving reminder. The next time you feel that anger is bubbling up, take a deep breath. And I like to also add for myself at times, just to tell myself, to say, to think that my anger is good. It's a really great teacher. And thank you. I'm even sometimes a little happy when my anger comes out, because it's able to show me what is it that I need at that moment. And then we can accept ourselves. We can stop fighting with ourselves. We can really just start loving every part about us, because even our anger is here to teach us so much. And then we can go head on, lovingly, of course, but head on to move with it and to do that inner transformation work from there. I always say that motherhood and marriage is the most epic personal development journey ever. And is there anything else in life that brings us more uncomfortable feelings at times than that? Well, then that's exactly because it gives us endless opportunities for personal transformation. If you feel like you want someone to go with you on this journey and help you make motherhood, marriage become a beautiful personal transformation journey, get out of feeling stuck, get out of feeling frustrated, deal with your anger, reconnect with yourself and with your husband, shoot me a DM and I'd be happy to help you. Thank you for being here with us today, and I can't wait to see you back next time. Hey mama, and thanks for joining us and listening to this episode. I know what it's like to crave some together time with your husband, but feel so stuck because for whatever reason, you can't leave the house. Maybe someone's sick, maybe there's no babysitter budget, or maybe you're just too exhausted. Well, that's why I would love to gift you a list of 50 date night ideas that you can do at home when you can't find a babysitter. It doesn't mean date night is doomed. Go over to alizasaid.com, that's alizasaid.com/50 date night ideas, and download a list of awesome ideas for a date night at home. Plus, you get some really essential guidelines to make a home date awesome. Some important things that can either make it or break it. So head over to alizasaid.com/50 date night ideas and date away.